Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
So, David Hawkins, you know, you're the editor of the Congressional Quarterly Roll Call, and your blog, Hawkins Here, is extremely well thought of, and you've been around for a long time. So I'm going to ask you a question. Is Hillary Clinton damaged goods?
She is partly damaged goods, for sure. You know, but she's actually less damaged goods than she used to be. You know, 10 years ago, when she was a, you know, deep into her first term in the Senate, it was still the case that I believe the numbers were, you know, 48% approved of Hillary Clinton nationwide, 47% disapproved of her nationwide. So that's 47% thought she was damaged goods, and only, you know, 5% hadn't made up their mind. So she was one of the most polarizing figures around. And I thought at the time, no way that woman could ever get elected president. You can't get elected president when 47% of the public has made up their mind that they don't like you, and there's only 5% left to get. That's almost a statistical impossibility. But she's turned that around. Now, incredibly, 20% of the electorate hasn't made up their mind about Hillary Clinton, and her favorable exceeds her unfavorable by about 12 points. So she's less damaged goods than she used to be, but it's very fluid, of course. Her favorable and unfavorable, her favorable number keeps dipping, with each closer step to actually running for president. In other words, her favorability was at its highest after she lost to Obama and when she was Secretary of State. And people, at that point, very high favorability. Now the closest she gets to running, it keeps shrinking. And the question I think you and I are probably both wondering is, does stuff like this email kerfuffle mean anything to the voters or not? And I'm not sure, actually. I think it means more to people in my business than it probably does to the typical voter.
Now, the Democrats are sort of torn asunder, in a way, between the progressive group and the middle-of-the-roaders. Hillary has always been considered, I think, a middle-of-the-roader. And a lot of people projected their own values into Obama's candidacy, even though they didn't know much about him at the time. So my question to you would be, what did you have to do differently this time than she did going in the last time?
Well, I think part of what she needs to do to give Democrats, her fellow Democrats, a pause is, I think she can run as a middle-of-the-roader. I think that's how she intends to run. I think she's going to try and run as a middle-of-the-roader with a little bit more populist flavor. She's not going to go all the, she's not going to do the full Warren. She's not going to go as far as Elizabeth Warren and be sort of a anti-corporate, anti-Wall Street crusader. But I think she's going to, my guess is, and from what I've seen of the few speeches she's given lately, she's going to try and give it a bit of a more progressive flavor to tamp down this anxiety on at the left edge of her party that she's sort of a corporate defend, you know, she's sort of the Rahm Emanuel of the Democratic Party, by which I mean that's probably an illusion that might be lost on some people in the Hudson Valley, but Rahm Emanuel, loyal Democrat, down the middle Democrat, now in danger of losing the mayoralty of Chicago because he's perceived as a defender of the 1%. Anyway, Hillary doesn't want to do that. She's going to shift a little bit to the left, but not too much to the left. She also, I think, and I said a minute ago, that this email thing gives people in my business, sort of political insiders, a little bit more pause. It gives Democratic insiders some pause, too, because what it suggests is that she has not really changed her stripes from the way she was when she was Bill Clinton's wife when he was running for president, or the first lady, pretty averse to having herself to being questioned, to facing the brickbats and the sort of tough questioning that comes with being a national figure. Kind of insular, kind of secretive. You know, that's the reputation that this email thing reinforces. And I think if she wants to give the country and her donors and the press some ease, she's going to have to get over that fear.
As one who's interviewed her a couple of times in the past, I have found her to be, based not on the stereotype, but on how she sounds when I talk to her, to be blazingly smart. I don't know that everybody knows that.
Oh, I think, you know, that's interesting. That might have gotten lost over time. I mean, that I think you're absolutely right. The couple of times I've talked to her, she absolutely comes across as, you know, extremely well-read, incredible amounts of you know, data, facts, fact-based thinking. And this goes back to, you know, Bill Clinton himself. When he famously said this two for the price of one line back when he was running for president, that sort of that got him in trouble. That kind of annoyed lots of people. But what I think he was trying to go after was, you got two policy wonks running. You know, I'm married to another policy wonk, somebody who is arguably even more of a plugged in policy than I ever was, Bill Clinton was trying to say, and I think that's still the case. If you're looking for somebody with a lot of intellectual rigor and, you know, a deep reservoir of knowledge, somebody who's been thinking about, yes, she's been ambitious and thinking about politics since she was a young person, but the record shows that she is also, you know, deeply informed on a ton of stuff.
Senator Ted Cruz from Texas has announced that he's running for president. That certainly will be polarizing in the Republican Party.
It certainly will. He is clearly going to make his stand with the cultural conservatives. So a minute ago you said that the Democratic Party was, I think you said, torn asunder between the mainstream, sort of the pro-business,
sure,
moderate Democrats and the liberal Democrats. The Democratic Party's got nothing on the Republican Party, obviously, which is torn several different ways. The business establishment conservatives, which I guess that Jeb Bush is trying to be to run as that crowd. They're the libertarian conservatives, which are the Rand Paul conservatives, and then the sort of social cultural conservatives, and that seems to be where Ted Cruz is trying to make his stand. The fact that he announced for president at Liberty University, the largest religious college in the country, I believe it is, sort of clear sign of what he's doing. If he can edge out all the other people that are looking for that religious cultural conservative type, then he could be a formidable candidate. I think he's still very much of a long shot for no other reason than he is given minimal high regard, as they say in politics, by many, many other people in the Republican establishment. And you really cannot, it's hard to run for president and succeed at getting your party's nomination when most of the party leaders think you're something of a jerk.
So when the smoke clears and it's all over and the candidates are picked to run for office, I take it, David Hawkins, that you don't think he'll be standing there.
I do not. I don't think I would not. Well, I wouldn't put him in my top. I wouldn't put him in my top three. I guess if you'd mark me at early spring of 2015, I'd have to mark myself down as Jeb Bush likeliest, Scott Walker second likeliest, Rand Paul third likeliest.
Our guest has been David Hawkins, editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call, author of Hawkins Here blog and column, and is the brightest guy I know covering Congress. Thank you so much for being with us. When we come back, let's just go on with some, you know, potpourri of other topics.
All right.